everybody. My name is Mark Kondrat, and this is the Let's Meet for a Beer podcast. On the podcast, I connect with brewers, distillers, chefs, entrepreneurs, and more. These are people who inspire me and make our community better. I hope you enjoy the conversations. Hey, I have a question for you. What pairs well with beer? The answer, the Brightside banking app. Brightside by ATB is a free banking app that helps you do more, like enjoying more craft beer, for example. We've brewed up this episode, get it, with Brightside, where we will be talking to one of their friends with benefits. And yes, you heard that right. You'll earn extra savings every time you spend at one of their local friends with benefit partners when you use the free Brightside spend card. From great breweries to coffee shops to local retailers to more breweries, they've got tons of friends where you can get some extra savings each time you spend local. The Brightside app is fully digital and you can get started in minutes for free. Download Brightside in the Apple or Google Play stores today. Welcome back to another Let's Meet for a Beer podcast. I am here in beautiful Sylvan Lake with Amanda Gammel, events coordinator and assistant sales manager. Also, Adam Knackbauer, managing partner and sales manager, Snake Lake Brewing. How are you guys doing?
Really good.
Awesome.
Beautiful, sunny summer day.
Drinking some beers outdoors.
You're like, I feel like I already answered that question. So Snake Lake, and specifically, I'll say Sylvan Lake, obviously a tourist destination for people across probably the whole province. And this series that I'm doing is kind of specifically talking about or encouraging the concept of the road trip. So how important, Amanda, is tourism to what you guys do in the town, but also at the brewery?
Tourists coming to town are really important to the brewery, obviously, because it brings a whole new population to town to come and experience what we have to offer in the tap room. But obviously, when they do come here and enjoy those products and then make their way home to their final destinations and have enjoyed them, we appreciate them asking for our products across the province at their local liquor stores and their favorite restaurants.
And that's what's kind of cool about the fact that you guys are available across the province, because then they actually can get your product when they go back and they ask for it at their local liquor stores and stuff.
Yeah. We try to make it as easy as possible to get it into people's hands.
Totally. Adam, just talking about locals, so it's been about three and a half years since you guys opened. How has the local town embraced you guys? Like I was saying before, there's a little bit of a stereotype with small towns where, you know, they think, oh, they only drink the easy drinking macro beers. So, you know, how do you introduce them to IPAs and to sours and stuff like that? So, you know, what was the educational curve like for them, and have they embraced you as a brewery?
Yeah, so bang on, small town, Central Alberta. Everyone is drinking mainstream beers when we opened. Like, there's a few craft beer drinkers in town, but like, as a whole, it has been unbelievable, the support from town. Like, the day we opened, the place was packed. Everyone was trying stuff. Pretty well every restaurant in town put us on tap. Three quarters of them hadn't even tried the beer. The liquor stores carry our stuff. Sylvan Lake, as a community, has been unbelievable for support and, like, boosting your self-confidence to be like, hey, we can do this. We can push farther. We can get out of here. Like, look at the backing we have from our own town. And I've had other guys come in, like, from different places too. Like, because of course we're friends with all the reps from all the other breweries and stuff. And we've had other reps come in and they'll come back and, like, chill for a beer here after. And they're like, man, you guys got this place, like, totally locked up. Like, nobody wants anything except your beer. And it's like, and it's nothing we pushed for, right? Like, this all came to us. Everyone kind of knocked down our door and be like, hey, you guys are making beer, I want to put it on tap. Hey, you got beer, I want to put it in my liquor store. And the general community itself has, like, we've got this awesome growth of people that have pushed outside their box and tried new things, stepped outside, tried those. Like, and of course, when we opened, we had our Kennebec Pilsner for that reason, right? We needed a lager. We needed something that was clean, clear. We wanted a blonde or a lager or something. And Octavio was our head brewer at the time. And he's like, we're not doing a blonde. We are going to do a style-specific beer. We're going to do something that's on point, and we can enter, obviously, to be judged and stuff. And so we did this German-style pils. And this beer, we were like one of two breweries at the time, I think, in Central Alberta that could even make it because of the water profiles in it.
Okay.
So we put a full reverse osmosis plant in this place so we can strip like 7,000 liters of water at a time. What we do is we strip that out, do that reverse osmosis, run it through. And then when we start our batch, we obviously build up the water profile. So with that, we take the water profile from the region, reintroduce the calcium chloride, the calcium sulfide, the pH level, build it back up as if you turned on the tap in Germany and then made the beer there. So we created this lager. I'm going to put that in quotations because this is like a full-blown German-style pils that we won gold out of all Canada last year.
That's right.
Fun fact. But that kind of was like the gateway beer. Like we had this beautiful style-specific, tons of effort went into this, perfectly clear pilsner, but it was something they could relate, like the general population can relate to.
Right.
It looks the same as a mainstream beer. It kind of has the same essence, the same underlying taste, I guess, but it's got body, it's got flavor, it's got that Alberta grain. It boasts flavor and craft, even though you're getting that same familiar color, taste. Like, you know, it's got so much going on, but it brings you into the craft beer world. And then we saw this whole change of people. Now they're like, hey, like, what is a kettle sour? Like, yeah. What's with your West Coast pale ale?
You have to kind of establish trust, right? And so what was smart about what you did based on what you just said is you met them kind of where they were, as opposed to saying, oh, well, when you understand beer, you'll like this, you'll like this. Like, it's like, here's what they're already drinking. Let's introduce something similar to what they'll like. And then from there, you'll pique their curiosity and they'll start exploring, right? And it doesn't help or it doesn't hurt that, you know, you're making really good beer off the bat. So one of the things is, yeah, locals will support you, but your responsibility in that equation is that you got to be making good beer, right?
It definitely pays into the whole equation, plays into the whole equation.
Totally. So I was in, as part of the road trip, I was in Slave Lake. I was visiting the guys at Dog Island, just sitting on the patio, hanging out with some locals. And these guys were your very light beer drinkers their whole lives. These guys are in their 60s or 70s now. Some of the locals that come in every day drinking like heavy IPAs. And I'm like, it's just interesting to see how once they kind of got hooked and they got kind of introduced to what it was all about, when the curiosity kind of kicked in, they were very, very open to everything. So,
oh man.
I think we've seen that same kind of transformation here with a lot of people.
Well, yeah. Even my dad, like my dad was a Budweiser drinker. That's what he drank. I grew up with that. That's all we had, flats of Bud. Now he's killing kegs. He's got a kegerator at his house now that obviously I'm making beer, and he kills Sidewinder kegs. He just wants IPAs. He likes IPA. Like that's, and to like, what a change, right? It's the same thing, yeah. You were just saying, like to go from that to like, here's this very, very light beer.
Yeah.
And then you switch to something that's crazy aggressive with all these flavors, and I'm proud of him.
Oh no, it is awesome. I kind of want to go back a little bit to kind of your origin story, I guess I'll call it. Number one, just the name. Maybe explain to people where the name Snake Lake comes from.
So like with many breweries, we're big on the history of Sylvan Lake. We've got a cool town. We've got a lot of cool history. Sylvan Lake was originally named Snake Lake. So that's where the name comes from. Kennebec is our pilsner. That's the Cree name for Snake Lake. That was the name until 1903. There were 61 people that lived here at that time. They put a petition around to change it from Snake Lake because that's a horrible name for a tourist town.
From a tourist perspective, you like, I know that my wife and children would not want to swim in something called Snake Lake.
Yeah, let's take the kids out there. Hey,
yeah.
So anyways, they threw this petition around and obviously got it passed, changed it to Sylvan Lake, which means Lake of the Forest. From there, it's grown. But all of our beers, like our core beers, especially like the Kennebec Pilsner is a direct relation to that, but like the Sidewinder IPA is named after the Sidewinder water slide that used to be, because the water slides were huge in Sylvan, right? And they're gone now, but they can live on our can.
Absolutely.
And the Varsity Hall Red, like the Varsity Hall was an iconic spot from the 30s. It was the Trianon, and they changed it to Varsity Hall to become a little more attractive to the university crew, which worked, and it became the hot spot in Sylvan. They had a sunken dance floor with like always live music and rock and jazz and motorcycle crews. It was like, so we try to like bring that stuff back to life.
And which is cool. It's cool to be able to, because again, I grew up here. I used to play hockey in Sylvan, and you don't know the history of these towns, right? So for you guys, it's a great excuse almost to kind of revisit the history and kind of share a story through beer.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
So original founders, who was the original group that started the brewery?
There's four of us. Four original shareholders, we're all equal shares. There's two of us that manage the place and two that are silent, but very, very helpful. So myself, Bill Beekman is my other managing partner. He's around every day taking care of this place. He's the general manager of this place. So does all the works with the brewers, works with the taproom staff, works with the delivery drivers, works with us, like, and with the sales team, and kind of he orchestrates. He's like Leonardo. He takes care of the whole team. He's the guy.
Is that a
that
ninja?
Was a Ninja Turtle okay. reference.
I was like, is that the artist or the Ninja Turtle? It's the Ninja Turtle. Yeah.
So, but he takes care of everything and keeps his place running. And he's always got like, the guy is unbelievable. You could never ask for a better business partner. And it's unreal to work with him on a day-to-day basis. And he's one of my best friends. So
yeah.
It's kind of a funny story. I actually met Bill at like 2 a.m. in the middle of nowhere. I used to be a heavy-duty mechanic. He was an instrumentation tech. And we both got called to this engine in the middle of nowhere. Wasn't running, compressor station, and they needed it running. So it's like, I got called out to work on the engine. He was working on the shutdowns. I'd never met this guy before in my life. About a couple days before that, we just found out my wife was pregnant, and we were not telling anyone. We weren't telling our parents. We weren't telling my sister. We weren't telling her family, nobody. And it's killing me right inside. So now here I am, 2 a.m., in the middle of nowhere with this guy I'm never going to see again. I'm like, now's the time. I was like, hey, man, I got to tell you something. He's like, what? I was like, we're having a baby and it's our first one and I'm so excited. And he starts laughing. And he says to me, he says the same thing. He's like, well, I got something to tell you. We just found out we're having a baby and we're not telling anyone. And so we finished the job, got the engine running, took off, went home. I'm like, I'm never going to see this guy again in my life. Turns out I kept running into him over and over. And then we started hunting together. And now we've both quit our jobs and started this brewery.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know if you want to get spiritual on that, but how the universe kind of brings people into your life like that, right?
It's the beer fate.
Yeah, but that's hilarious.
So then his brother is also a partner, 25% partner here. His name's Dean. His dad actually is Walter. Nice. So like we've got the three of them and then I'm like the black sheep, but they nice. Let me into the family. Somehow I got adopted in.
So when you say silent partner, because I've been involved with the loudest silent partners in the world. Like, are they good silent partners? You can blink twice if it's a no. No, it's okay.
No, they're fantastic. I mean, everyone's got their own opinion. Bill and I are very close, obviously, with the day-to-day workings of this place. So they have a very large amount of trust for our decisions and our input on things.
Right.
However, the outside opinion sometimes clears stuff up for me when I'm like, tunnel vision on something. It's nice to have that cut and dry opinion of no emotional attachment to what's going on.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that. And both those guys are very, very successful businessmen too, with their own businesses. Dean's running completely his own business with a whole crew of guys doing horizontal drilling. And Walter ran a company called Partners in Pork. He was a partner in that for a long time. Like, and they are, so they know their ins and outs of
right.
it. So when it comes to the business sense, it's nice to have that backing and to be able to talk to these guys and get their advice, even if it's something we're not going to follow, but it's nice to hear the
opinions. Well, you get a different perspective, right? Because sometimes when you're in the weeds so closely, you can't really see the bigger picture. So to have some people that are kind of on the outside, being able to see from that perspective is helpful.
Yeah. Can't see the hops or all the vines.
That's right. So the original concept for this place, was it that you wanted to have a tap room or a tasting room and have the product be sold out of there primarily? Or was it something that you thought, you know, let's find a location where we can produce it and distribute it? Was that your number one vision or where did you land on that?
Our story is like, so originally Bill was an instrumentation tech. I was a heavy duty mechanic. We're working in the oil field. I did that for about 14 years. We were looking for a change, obviously, something that wasn't so many hours in the middle of the night, which, I mean, was great because I met him. But Bill and I were homebrewing pretty heavily, like doing it in our garage, his garage. He had a whole setup. I had a whole setup. And we actually started looking into building a company to sell homebrew equipment. We originally weren't even doing an undertaking of a brewery. We wanted to sell mash tuns, wanted to sell kettles, like heat exchangers, stuff like that to get people into this cool hobby. So we like sourced out all this information. Got our suppliers, like everything for the like minimum purchase you'd have to do to get a distribution application through to a supplier. Then it got to the point where they wanted you to have brick and mortar. So we had to go find a building and we really wanted to make this an online company. We wanted to be like pretty streamlined, order stuff, send it out, you know, like try to make that work. Anyways, we started looking at buildings. And then as we're looking at buildings, we got back one night and we were actually brewing a batch of beer at Bill's house. And he's like, I think he said it actually. We had a few beers at this point. He's like, Sylvan Lake doesn't have a brewery. Maybe we should just build a brewery. And I was like, obviously on board. Yeah, of course, man. That sounds like a great idea. Let's do that. So the next morning I wake up, I call him back. I was like, hey, I was kind of serious about that last night. Were you? And he's like, yeah, I'm serious about it. So we built this business plan. It took us 3 months to build this business plan. So originally the original idea was to be a homebrew shop.
Yeah.
Built this business plan for 3 months, which Bill is like pinnacle in. That guy crunches numbers. Like, if you want to buy this board off our picnic table, he'll like source out 10 different boards of all different kinds and figure out which one's the cheapest and which one's is more structurally like integrity is in there. And he'll source it out so you get the best board for the best price.
Yeah.
And then he'll do it again for this board.
Yeah.
So the guy,
so he's
like
crazy.
It's amazing.
It's awesome.
No, yeah. Like yeah. He's a total opposite of me in that sense. Yeah.
It's a perfect balance.
Yeah. Like anyways, so we built this business plan and then actually bought this building. We used to be at Napa Auto Parts. Bought it in June and then built the place up. So our original direction wasn't even to be doing this. So then once we put that business plan together, we realized that like we want to be a wholesale brewery. That's the direction we want to go. We want to sell to Alberta. We want to push the margins on wholesale is way less than retail. Like you make way more out of your own front door. But to have a business that's throughout the whole province and you have this whole like don't put all your eggs in one basket, that kind of theory. Like we've got the whole province getting our marketing out, supporting us, putting that product out to people. That's the direction we wanted to go. And then the tap room fell into the business plan as a like almost like a bonus. Like if we can have people in here, awesome. If we have to shut the doors, we'll still keep running as a business. Our focus is beer for Alberta.
Right.
And that's the way it came. And now the tap room's evolved to we have regulars that come in here all the time. We've got like it's quiet right now out on the patio, but it's so cool to see the place fill up. And like I can't wait to get live music going again. And
totally.
And it's come to this thing that now it's like it's got its own culture built around it. And it gave Sylvan Lake a different spot that's not a sports bar. We don't have TVs up. We don't have that kind of venue. We've got a completely different spot where you come, like, beers for conversation. Sit down, talk.
Totally.
Don't stare at a screen. So that's what it's for. Like, and when you come here and you can have that feeling, you can see all the tanks. You've got this really cool atmosphere. It's got a touch of industrial in there, but still very nicely finished, I think, with the timber frame and stuff. Yeah, it evolved to something really cool. So now both sides are working really well for us. We've got the wholesale and the retail.
So Sylvan Lake wasn't necessarily, it wasn't that you researched and said, this is the optimal town. It was just kind of fell in your lap in the sense that you were living here and it was just kind of like, hey, instead of doing the homebrew equipment, we could actually start a brewery here.
Yeah. Well, I was living south of town about 20 minutes and Bill was living north of town about 20 right. minutes. And Sylvan's got such a summer culture like that. Yeah. That fun tourism feel. It's a little bit of a holiday. Every day you wake up, like go to walk the beach and kind of thing. So like we thought it'd be a cool place to do that. No one had done it yet. We found the right size building and it all just kind of fell into place.
That's awesome. So I want to talk about your team a little bit. How many people, like when you first start, I mean, it seems to me just being here right now that imagine you, like how are you versus where you thought you'd be? Like it would look like you're doing quite well. Is that fair to say? Like in terms of what your vision was, have you kind of hit where you imagined you could be 3 years in?
As Amanda knows, I never make plans. I don't know. We just kind of go for stuff and push as hard as we can. I'm starting to sound like a hockey player right now.
He doesn't even plan tomorrow.
But,
like it's crazy.
But no, like where we're at, like we went, when we opened, there was four of us, basically. There was me and Bill and then our brewer, Octavio, and our bar manager, Morgan. That was the four we opened with. And we took off the ground and we didn't know what we were getting into. We didn't know how many people we were going to need. Now we have, I think we have 19 people that work here now from all different aspects. Like we've got a full farmer's market division. We've got our sales division. We've got our taproom staff from our and our brewery staff and then our admin, like office staff. And it's grown to this business, but it's been so gradual. Yeah, it's been like such a cool grow period. I mean, COVID slowed everything down. I don't want to talk about that at all, obviously, like too much, but it's like it hurt for everybody and it kind of put this, you're on a treadmill for a year. But to see where it's come and to have this team that you add on to as you need it, you kind of get to know everybody. You get to get be part of that team. And it's not just like you jumped in and all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of people you're trying to figure out.
Totally. So you mentioned, so you and Bill were both like home brewing, is that right?
Yeah.
So why, when you started, I'm always curious about like when people start a new business, like how you determine what your role is going to be and what Bill's role is going to be. But then why did you determine that neither of you would be brewing? Because you had mentioned that you hired a brewer, Octavia, is that the name?
Octavio, yeah.
Octavia. So how do you guys define what your roles are going to be to begin with? And why was it important for you guys to hire outside brewers to help you?
We knew immediately from our homebrew batches, like we could make beer that's drinkable, but we wanted to make a product that's consistent. We knew we were going to go big. Like the tanks, we put in a 35 hectare brew house immediately. We needed to not have anything go wrong. We've invested in everything. Like I sold everything I own basically to build this place, like my house, my acreage. I had two airplanes at the time. I sold my service truck. I sold my motorcycles, like everything. And we had this commitment. I knew for the outside, like talking to people, It's what I like doing. I like getting out talking to people. I'm not so good with math and like the ins and outs and stuff. Bill's the man for that. And he's great at it. And he analyzes everything and thinks about everything. He's very methodical in the way he works. And I'm the opposite. So that division, we kind of figured out immediately. We knew where we belonged in that sense. And then from there, we wanted to have a product that was great. We knew there was a lot of breweries. Even when we started up 3 years ago, there was a lot of breweries in Alberta.
Yeah.
And to have something that stands out and have those different styles and have something that's point out, it's not something we could accomplish. And it's never mind do it twice in a row. So like I've had some, my home brews were not, I can kill a stout, but that's about it.
Right.
So, and stouts are not the best sellers.
Yeah, but on a hot summer day.
Anyways, so yeah, we kind of figured it out that way and went from there. But honestly, even anyone that's listening to this, thinking about starting up a brewery, like a brewer, somebody trained and knows what they're doing in the, there's so many little hidden things going from that homebrew scale to a full scale brewery, timelines and just things you don't think about. You cannot spend enough. Like they're so worth it. Those guys, they know what they're doing. Like we understand how to brew. But it's just to have that backing and have somebody that knows how to fix the problems. Like to make a batch of beer is one thing, but then what happens, say halfway through, something goes wrong on you. How do you correct that?
Yeah.
Like, that's where the real art is. And that's how you, because like we've brewed 300 and I think we've brewed 340 batches of beer since we've opened and we've never dumped a batch of beer.
Nice.
And our guys, I'm going to knock on the picnic table right now, but no, yeah, the guys are, they're killing it and they take so much time and care and they watch every step of the way and they're pulling samples and running it under the microscope and counting those yeast cells and checking like, they know every day where these beers are at and we'll not release them. We're actually waiting on a batch of Pilsner right now because we need to keg it off to get it out, but it's just not finished and we won't rush a beer. And that's those guys. And we respect that. And I can't force that. And I want to, but I can't because we want that quality, right?
100%. So, and I was going to ask you about that in terms of brewing philosophies. Would you say that is your philosophy in general, is that you just don't rush beers? They're ready when they're ready. And like, or what would you say, do you have a guiding principle or a mantra that kind of guides you?
Well, it's, we leave a lot of it up to the brewers. Like they will tell us when they're happy and confident with the beer. Every beer's got a timeline. We have a brew schedule because it's like a shell game in there, right? Like as soon as one comes out, you got to put one in. And if that one gets delayed a day, now you can't brew that other one to put it in. And I think we, yeah, like it's all a big game trying to get those in and out. But yes, we leave it up to their call basically by the end of the day.
Totally. Did you guys start out with, like when you guys first opened the doors, did you have an idea of what your core beers were going to be? Or did you leave that up to the people walking through the doors? Or how do you determine what your cores are?
We went at that from a total business plan standpoint. We wanted lager because you need a gateway beer. You need somebody to come in. Like you need that beer, right? Like that's close to the mainstream. We wanted an IPA. You need an IPA. Everybody's got to have an IPA, basically. That's like your craft forward beer that everyone's looking for, wants to try, whether it's West Coast or New England. Like, you got to have that.
Right.
We wanted a red ale because there was not a lot of reds going on in Alberta. And honestly, in a flight, red ale looks beautiful. And the one we do is a West Coast style red. So you have that really light finish rather than being malty and sweet and heavy. It's got that light finish with a little blast of hops, 35 IBUs, like really cool red. Also won a gold medal out of Canada for.
There you go.
And then I'm a stout guy. I like dark beer through and through. And I'm like, guys, there's no way I can be part of this brewery if we're not going to make a dark beer. Like, come on.
I sold my airplanes for this goddamn place. Like, exactly. We're making a stout.
So they made me the Commodore Stout. Well, me, I like to say, but yeah. They made us the Commodore Stout.
Well, you threw a hissy fit. And so they made a stout. They made you a stout.
I don't throw hissy fits.
Yes, you do. But it was worth it.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Well, like Trevor that works with us, we were on a patio last week or the week before. It was plus 35 and he was ordering like stouts and porters. Yeah. So, I mean,
I like them too.
Yeah, I do too. That'll be me.
Speaking of which, did you order beers?
Yes, I ordered beers, but they're not, I don't know. I might have to go check.
I'm always curious about how the two different teams work. So the brewers and like sales and marketing, because it's so important to have, you know, a partnership there, you know, and I think breweries by and large are a lot better than, you know, what I would see say 15 years ago, which was, you know, a lot of old school brewers thought that anything marketing related was gimmicky because the beer should sell itself, you know. But in my opinion, and I think most people would agree, that you need good liquid, but you also need good branding and a good sales and marketing team to get people excited to drink it, right? So how do you guys kind of connect those two groups and have them work together?
We've got really good communication in the brewery. We've got a really team focused the way we kind of roll. We every Monday we kind of all sit down together and talk for about an hour about what's going on, where things are going, what beers are coming out, where they're going, what events we've got coming up, all that kind of thing. But it's definitely like the beer, it can be amazing, but there's so many breweries out there that you need to have that labeling correct. You need to have the push for it. You need to have people know about it. And it's one thing to get it out of the brewery and onto a liquor store shelf, but it's a whole other thing to get somebody to buy it off that liquor store shelf when they're facing 100 different beers. There's a huge, huge play there. But our group, actually, the brewers are even looped in on all of our label designs, all of our write-ups. We like even the Margarita Goza we just launched has a cocktail recipe on the side. That's right from Jesse. We all kind of work together at that. And they also help us too. Like if we need to drop a seasonal or drop off a batch of beer that they wanted to put through to accommodate something that we're doing, they'll put it through just so we can meet a demand or meet a sale or meet a flyer. We'll be able to fluctuate our brew schedule that way. Yeah. So it works really good. And we're very like, it's still a small company, right? Like everyone's still pretty tight here. And it's not like you're communicating by email all the time or something. Like there's always like conflict. Everyone's always got their own opinion. And that's why we want everybody to talk about it. Cause everybody sees things from a different point of view, which is so amazing at the end of the day, when you think about like, you've got all these different points of view just to make this one product better. Like that's how much all these people care about this. Everybody wants to put their own opinion in on a can that's coming out. And that makes me happy, even though if it creates a little bit of tension or whatever, like it's so cool. The passion that comes out of everybody that works here and to get the information that they see or their perspective on things. It's crazy, man. Like it's important and we've got a really good team and I feel like the morale here is pretty, pretty good. And like we have a lot of fun day to day.
And so you don't throw a hissy fit unless you absolutely have to. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is necessary before it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And okay. In those circumstances, it's not usually you.
I don't throw hissy fits. I don't know.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. We're trying to create rumors here. Come on. Is he about to throw a hissy fit? Okay. So tap room. To me, a tap room is a really cool opportunity to really directly connect with your consumers, right? Because to your point, when you have your beer at a liquor store, one is how do you get them to buy your beer? But then two is, how do you get them to buy your beer again, right? So in a tap room, you can kind of see how that happens like directly. And so you can get that interaction because if someone says, oh yeah, I really like that, but they don't buy another one, yeah. It's like, okay, why didn't you like it enough to have two of them, you know? And you have that direct kind of interaction. Do you guys find that to be important?
The tap room is a place of learning. You're coming to the source to figure out how we do it, who we are, where we came from. So that atmosphere has to be bang on it. We have 12 beers on tap. You're not going to like them all. Well, I mean, I hope you do, but there's lots of people that are very fussy once you get to the certain styles. Like there's certain things, like I'm not a huge Saison fan, but I still appreciate the style. I appreciate the beer. Like there's a reason that's there. People like it. But you're never going to have somebody that just totally enjoys everything. But to have that, to be able to do that and go through and try different things and open their palate up or open their mind to something new that they would not normally try, that's what that's for. Is like, you've come here, try something crazy, try something new, maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't. But why not give yourself the shot? And then you see from that, like we've got a lot of people that will bust out of their comfort zone and then they're walking out of here with growlers full of it. And it's like, and something right off the bat, they're like, nah, that's not for me. Like, ah, wait, give it a shot. Give it a shot.
Question. If you save all your money for a rainy day, what are you doing on all those sunny ones? You're not digging into some spicy tacos, not firing up a weekend getaway, and you definitely aren't tapping that add to cart button. Said differently, you're not living, and that's what life is for. So go ahead, live like it's sunny, tap like you mean it, swipe with a smile, and add it to your cart. But first, get the Brightside banking app, because we can help you save for rainy days while you're doing all that. Brightside. Banking that helps you do more you.
You know, you allow kids. You already know all this stuff, but I'm just...
I was going to say, what?
Yeah. You allow kids. You serve food and you have live music, which you were commenting earlier, hopefully is coming back soon. Is that right?
Yeah. We had a show about a week ago or so outdoors. Cole was playing here. Cole Martin with the fiddler and played in the box of his truck. It was awesome for the whole patio. Yeah. The food. Can I talk about the food for a minute? A good friend of mine had Old Smokey's Barbecue, which is a barbecue house out in Rocky Mountain House. You judged some of the Edmonton competitions and stuff, like very, very good, very talented chef. Anyways, through COVID, unfortunately, with the way everything went, they actually had to shut their place down because of not having the customer base and takeout wasn't really working with that business style. Anyways, he approached me and he's like, hey man, like what if I move my smokers to the brewery? He's like, would you guys like have a job for me? And I was like, not even a question. Yes, of course. So he brought in, he's got a huge wood smoker in the back, offset wood smoker, plus a big commercial pellet smoker. And we do brisket, smoked briskets. We do smoked pulled pork. We do smoked pulled chicken. Right now we got pig wings on, brisket bites today. So grab some before you go. But yeah, like the food is incredible. And to add that element, like there's no barbecue shack in Sylvan. And now we've got a barbecue shack paired with a craft beer factory. Those two go together. Like I couldn't have planned that better. And 100%. it just happened. So stuff like that, like gives you this whole personality and it works. Like it's got such a cool blend, I guess, of different models.
Well, and what's cool about that too, is like back in the day, so that makes me sound like I'm 80, but like breweries never had the tasting rooms and the tap rooms. And so it was really impossible to get that personal connection, right? And so, but this allows you that ability for the local community to really see what you're all about, right? And create those connections. And so, I mean, there's no other way to do it. And as people come in here and they enjoy your beer, again, you're creating loyal followers for a long time. You talked about COVID. We don't want to talk too much about COVID, but it'd be weird because I haven't really chatted with you guys much through the pandemic. So I just want to kind of check in to see how that went for you guys. One of the things, and we talked about your team, you know, when you have such a close team and you have, and it's a small town, I think it might be even more challenging to go through something like this because when you're laying people off, you're laying potentially friends and family off. What was that experience like for you guys? What did you have to do to kind of maintain and survive through COVID?
So that's definitely a couple different ways. When the first wave hit, like when everything shut down, it sucked. It sucked like big time just for everybody else like as well. But we laid off our staff just to figure out what we did a cost comparison, how many months we could last if we never sold another drop of beer, just to keep all of our bills overhead, figure out how long we had before if we never sold anything. Then this crazy thing happened. Liquor stores got busy. So liquor stores are about 50% of what, like our split for wholesales were about 50-50 with like on-premise, like restaurants versus retail, like liquor stores. That helped huge. Like they bumped up a bit. We definitely sold more and more stuff that way. And it immediately gave us this ability to bring our staff back. So at our first, basically within the first 2 weeks, we were already bringing people back. And we soon were back to our full team and pushing hard now to get stuff moving. Because we were sitting on like 60,000 liters of beer when the world shut off. And we're like, oh, we can't drink that. Like that's a lot of beer. So
did you at least try?
Solid effort.
Absolutely.
Solid
effort. Yeah, there was a few days that we were like, maybe we can just drown this or drown this away. No. But we brought everybody back, got that rolling again. And then once the taproom was able to open again, we brought the taproom staff back. And then as things kept progressing and going, we had those shutdowns that would come. And then after that initial first shutdown, every time one would come, we'd be like, hey, we've kind of got a plan for this. We know what we're doing. And we did no more layoffs. The taproom staff obviously they'd be on, like they'd be off till the taproom came back. But I mean, as far as the rest of the whole brewery goes, like we went through that whole last shutdown here in, when was that? May? No, March? I don't know. The one was
I
the
erased
last one.
That from my
Yeah,
memory.
It's gone from me too. I can't even remember.
I feel like, we just got to a certain point where it was kind of like, it's like assume your positions. You just know what, and it's like autopilot and there's no emotion attached to it. It's just like, shut down. Here's what you do.
Yeah, we don't have restaurants anymore. But so like the last one, we didn't lay off anybody. We just kept everybody working, had found a place for everybody. I mean, which on the business side of it, you're losing revenue, keeping everybody employed, but it's worth it because it keeps that group together. It keeps you tight. They're important enough to us, like everybody here, that it doesn't matter if you're going the other way a little bit, that to keep those people working, to keep us. It's so cool that people show up to work every day to work at my company. Like it blows my mind to this day. And to be able to return that about like a bit back and do that next step and not be like, okay, we're just going to lay you off because we don't need you. We'll find something for you to do. And that was important. That last shutdown was really good that way for me to be able to see that and be able to do that. And now with everything opening back up, now we can hopefully recover a bit from where we were and make this year turn into something really good, I think.
Totally. So for you guys, when you look at, you guys mentioned things like delivery that you guys had done. I know talking to Bud from Troubled Monk, actually I was just there as part of this series as well, but I talked to him a couple of times over the pandemic. And when they first implemented deliveries, he was just like rolling his eyes going, yeah, that's going to be useless. And then he was like, oh my God, he's like, that almost helped save the company, you know? So when you look at things like that and other things you had to do over COVID to survive, is there a silver lining in terms of things that you implemented that might stay as permanent concepts?
Yeah, you kind of learn along the way how to streamline and make things more efficiently. But like the home delivery thing, that's actually really funny because before that even happened, I think it was December before like COVID even kicked in what was it, 2020? Yeah. But before that even happened, I was like talking to everybody at our morning Monday meetings, and I'm like, hey, what if we offered home delivery, like a pizza place? Like, what if you could be like, hey, I need a six pack of beer?
That?
I was like, can
Will
we
they
do
let us?
So we were actually in the process with AGLC of figuring out if we could do this as a business. And then all of a sudden, everything shut down, and it was like, oh, we've already got this rolling, and like just went with it. And it, man, like that's another thing, like the support of town and the support of Central Alberta, Edmonton, Calgary too. Like the people got on it right away. Everyone's like, okay, well, like let's keep these small businesses rolling. Let's keep this stuff going. Let's get, like, beer's going to, like, it's got a shelf life. We better drink it. We're Canadian.
Yeah.
And
we got to do what we got to do. Canadians step up.
Yeah. It's a huge thing, and there's several other things we learned about ourselves, even as a team, about how to do things better, how to do things more efficiently, how to work through a rough time and keep a business going. And I think that's a learning curve that, like, a lot of us, well, a lot of other businesses before this, you never got to experience. It's like forced training. Like, you have to, it's a sink or swim. Like, you got to make it happen, and to figure that out as a group and have all that input from everybody and how they see things in each of their different areas was fantastic to have.
And it's cool, and I'll knock on wood, but I feel like we're coming out the other side. And when you're able to do it and you're able to have done it as a team, it makes it feel even that much more special, right? Like you've been through, you know, a battle to some degree.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Want to talk a little bit about beer culture, because you come from an oil and gas background, is that right?
Yeah.
So how would you describe the difference between the culture from that industry to the culture of this industry? And what's funny when I even say that is because I don't even usually refer to this as an industry. I refer to it as a community. So even just the difference in how you even consider the businesses. But for you, having been immersed in both, what are the key differences for you?
It's unreal. So like you come from a place where you don't talk about anything to anybody. Everything's hush hush. This is what we're doing.
Except that you're having a kid and, you know,
right,
at 2 a.m. to a stranger.
I couldn't hold it in. I was going to throw a hissy fit.
Yeah.
But no, it's completely different to walk away from a place where you're working alone a lot of the time in the middle of nowhere on somebody's equipment that at the end of the day, they're obviously you're there to do a job. They want it to run. But you come to this new industry where everyone's open, everywhere. Like when we were building the brewery, there was guys like the guys from Blind Man, they let us right through their whole brewery, taking pictures of steam lines, of electrical. The guys from Siding 14, same thing, let us right through the whole place. We walked through Trouble Monk. Like the support from each other, like everybody in the industry, it blows my mind to this day. And then even if you take that another level to go to, now you do these festivals and beer shows and you get all these guys together and everyone's got stories to share and like help each other out and be like, hey, there's great accounts here, do this or go talk to these people. And everybody's just growing as a community, like you say, not an industry, but as a community. It's exceptional. It feels so good to sit down and talk to people like this. We're sitting here in the sunshine, drinking a beer, talking like, this is awesome. This is how it should be. And this is like, it makes me so happy after working for a decade and a half, like either way too cold or way too hot or way too tired. Like you're just always beat to death basically out there. Like Bill and I remember working like 20-hour days all the time. And now you get this job. I mean, we still work our butts off. Don't get me wrong. But it feels like it doesn't matter where you go. People get it. They're like, oh yeah, like we're in it. We're all in it together. Like it's sweet to stop in at like Red Heart and visit with the boys there or bomb over to like even Hawktail or like just
spend all the family day weekend at Folding Mountain.
There you go. Family day weekend. Yeah. We rent the cabins up there.
Nice.
And yeah, go to Folding Mountain. Like it's the whole community. And then you get into the next level of it, of the hospitality industry, like the restaurants. Same thing. You go into these places and they want to talk to you. They're happy to see you. You have real conversations with real people and you're not just trapped alone in the middle of nowhere and like, don't talk about anything. But they'll like, it's cool to talk to a brewery too and be like, hey, this is what we're doing. It's like, it doesn't seem like it's working. Like, have you guys been through this? And they're like, oh yeah, don't do that. And
yeah.
Oh, thanks. Like everyone's just open with their information and it helps. Everybody's got their heart and soul in this. Everybody built these places themselves, right?
And that's I think is the key too, is everybody, like when you see someone else working so hard and they just truly give a shit, you want to help them and vice versa. You would want them to help you. So it's just such a community in that sense.
Well, and we've traded ingredients with so many people, like Blind Man's run out of hops and been like, hey, we need 5 kgs of Saz hops and they'll come grab them. And we've run out of stuff and asked them, and like Trouble Monk's ran out of can lids and we've run down can lids. Like it works everywhere and you never know when you need help, right? So you're always willing to help people because sooner or later, one of those guys is going to come to your rescue.
So last summer I was in Medicine Hat and I think it was Travois because they're such a small brewery, right? And they're, you know, right downtown Medicine Hat. They don't have anything remotely close to a canning line. And Medicine Hat Brewing, you know, had them come up and let them use their canning system. And it's just like, you know, there's other industries where they'd be like, okay, once they go under, we'll buy all their equipment for 10 cents on the dollar. You know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't be like, yeah, come and can so you can sell your product, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So Central Alberta is kind of becoming a hub, right, for a lot of cool breweries. So in the area, Sylvan, Rimby, Lacombe, Pinoca, Red Deer, Innisfail. What else? Am I missing any?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So there's, but like even in Red Deer, there's what, like four or five now kind of thing?
Yeah. There's Sawback, Belly Hop, Trouble Monk, Red Heart. I think those are
something
guys
brewing.
Something's brewing. Yeah. Yep. Five.
So I guess what I'm wondering there is how, when you, because when I think of the beer culture, obviously I live in Calgary, so I'm very familiar with the Calgary beer culture. Edmonton, I spend a lot of time in. But are you guys kind of creating your own kind of beer culture within Central Alberta? And as collaborative as it may be, do you see there being signs of maybe more competition coming?
I don't know competition wise, if you call it that. I mean, everyone's kind of doing their own thing. It's nice. I find Central Alberta is really cool. Like, if you actually look at the numbers of the population in this area, we've got a ton of breweries for what is actually, like, for how many people live here comparatively to, like, Calgary, Edmonton. Calgary's got quite a few as well for brewery-wise, but we have such a small population, but there's so many people rolling through. And it's cool to hear from a lot of people rolling through that they're, I don't know if it's cool, like, actually, I shouldn't say that, but they're surprised by the quality of the beer that's coming out of Central Alberta. And it seems like more and more, as years progress, we're getting more and more different styles and different brewers and different people coming through and coming out of Central Alberta that you're seeing really good beer here, is that it's worth a trip. So now you've got these people that want to make that trip because they'll come up from Calgary, come down from Edmonton, and you've got like eight or nine breweries in a fairly tight area, but you can go hit all these breweries and everyone's got something different to offer, but it is like you can make a brewery tour out of it. So it's like now you get this travel. It's a destination, as you might call it, from like one of the cities.
100%. Yeah. And I think, you know, and that's one of the things we're trying to encourage is, yeah, get a map out and like go and check these places out. I think that maybe, I don't know, I'll say 10 years ago, maybe the general public was a little bit more patient with breweries not making great beer. And I think maybe that was when a lot more people who were home brewers thought, oh, I can do this on a commercial scale. I feel like everything that brewers like yourself, you're coming at it professional right out of the gates, and you know that you don't have, or you don't want to start off with making shitty product, like, you know what I mean? And so I will say that people are still surprised to some degree in that they're willing to kind of be a little patient sometimes. But when people say you should support local breweries, I always say you don't need to do it out of any sort of pity. You should do it because these are first-class beers being made locally. So it's not really like, oh, we're having inferior product because we're supporting local. They're having world-class beer that's produced locally.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, people that aren't familiar with the community, when they come here for the first time or to any brewery, I think they're genuinely surprised. I think they get used to it pretty quickly. Like, I don't remember the last time I was at a local brewery where I had a distinctly terrible beer or that was off or something like that. You know, it just is not the norm whatsoever anymore. Even Steve Dressler, so brewer at Sierra Nevada for his whole career, Bob from Roar Malting tours him when he comes up for the Jasper Festival. And he is just was blown away at the Alberta beer scene. In his opinion, some of the best beer he's ever had in his life. So that's a huge compliment from someone like that, because he doesn't just say that if he doesn't have to say it, right?
Yeah. Right.
So what you're doing is really cool. Okay, so let's look back kind of at the last 4 years. When you look back at everything that's been done since you, I guess, kind of broke ground or decided to build the brewery, is there something that you can point at that's kind of been the most rewarding, maybe something you're most proud of in that four-year journey?
There's a lot of things I'm proud of. Basically, just starting from where we did, knowing what we did, to evolving it to a company that we have, the reputation that we have throughout Central Alberta and the footprint, and to go to Fort McMurray and drink one of our beers and go to Lethbridge and drink one of our beers, and like to see the progression from even just the tanks, like expanding our tanks and expanding our team and growing this. We have a full culture within our own brewery. And for me to jump off of a career that I knew solely for my whole life and jump into this and watch this thing grow to something that's working. It feels so good to every day to get up and come here and see our company and watch where it's going. It's always exciting. There's always changes every day. Like there's always stuff that's like you're not expecting, unexpected things for sure. But I don't have one thing. I can't give you a direct answer that the whole business is.
To me, you seem like such an outgoing person that the way you're describing your oil and gas career, it just seems like it's kind of like the opposite of what you should have been doing in a way, right? I don't want to shit on what you were doing before, but interacting with people all day seems to be a little bit more in your natural wheelhouse. Is that fair?
Yeah, well, I like it. I'm a talker.
Yeah. You're a little chatty. But,
sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. It's good. Trust me, there's nothing worse than doing podcasts with people that aren't talkers. It can be painful.
But yeah, as far as proud, I'm just proud of this whole place. I'm proud of everybody that works here. I'm exceptionally proud of our beers. And that's like, it's really good to also see the guys get that credibility. Like we got the Canadian gold medal for our Pilsner last year. We got a Canadian gold medal for our Red last year. We've had the Alberta gold medal for our Sidewinder. To see those guys get recognized on that scale is like, I come into work every day and tell them they're doing a good job. Yeah. They just get bored of it. They're like, yeah, whatever, Adam. Okay, yeah.
When's the next stout getting made? Every morning, that's your question.
That's a great question. but then to get those awards and to see them get recognized on that level, like that's a huge accomplishment. And it's them getting that credibility that they deserve. The beers these guys create are exceptional, in my opinion. I'm not just like saying that because it's my brewery, but they are. They're making on-point beers, and they're full of flavor, and they have body, and they've got local, like all of our base malts come right from our malting. Like it's all Alberta grains. And to see this stuff come out and all the fruit, like even in this, the key lime in this margarita sour, like everything we do is real fruit. We have no extracts. It's all real fruit purees. The product is well worth being proud of. And I love going into places and giving it to people and be like, hey, try this. I got four beers I want you to try. You're going to like them all. I like that. And I love being able to do it. And I can tell why each beer is like the way it is and why we brewed it and what the styles are and what you're tasting. And like, beer's cool, man. Like,
that's always a fun experience because you go in with a bag full of beer and it's like, oh, well, I'm not going to like them all because I don't like IPAs or I don't like stouts. But at the end, they're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. Yeah. I do like that. Well, we're not just saying it.
Yeah.
We're a little bit biased, but also we're proud.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you guys look at what you're most excited for on a day-to-day basis, like Amanda, I'll ask you, what when you wake up and you come to work, what are you most excited about on a day-to-day basis? What motivates you?
That depends on the day. Adam already told you he doesn't make plans. So sometimes I have no idea what I'm going to be doing. That's exciting. It's always an adventure.
Yeah.
Getting out and talking to people, that's always kind of been my wheelhouse. Sales is my background forever, not in beer, but forever. So I really like people and doing things. And
what attracted you to working here?
Well, that's also kind of a interesting story. Adam and I were friends before the brewery, before I came to work at the brewery. In fact, when he was still, well, they were building the brewery and he was still a mechanic, we would go for breakfast early in the mornings once in a while. And at one point he was like, so you do sales. That's what you do. How do I do sales? What do I need to know about doing sales? And I laughed then, because he didn't need anything from me. Obviously, he can do that quite well on his own. But we stayed in touch as things were progressing and as the brewery was growing, and kind of pretty quickly, I guess, that first year, until he phoned me a few times in a row in a couple of weeks looking for some help trying to find somebody with sales experience. Did I know anybody that was looking for work, or did I know anybody that would be interested in working with the brewery? And I had been at home with kids for a few years, and I finally was like, well, I guess I'm ready to start working again. Do you want me to come and do it?
And that's cool.
That's how I ended up here.
And did he say yes, he would like you to?
He said, you finally got my hint.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to be less subtle next time. Come on. If you were able to go back in time, would you do it all over again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I needed the career change. If I were to do something different than this, I still won't be going back to be a mechanic. Like, I won't be in oil field. I won't be doing that. I might work on motorcycles or airplanes or something, like, I don't know, smaller. But like, I needed that. And right now I'm still very happy with the decision I made. Like, it's stressful. You think about it all the time. Like, there's a whole other side of breweries that like people don't realize. They don't realize there's like a lot of actual stress and work and business that goes along with it. that you don't see. You only see the fun parts, right? Like you see the beer drink and you see the festivals, you see being out and about in restaurants, like chatting with customers. Yeah, that's all great. But there's this whole other side that sucks.
Yeah.
But it's still very, very important. I think once you blend those two together, you get this nice balance and you get the life quality. Like I'm home with my kids all the time now. Like I live like 2 minutes from here now, which is amazing. I can walk home if I need to get out and go paddleboarding with my kids. That say, once I get out of school, you go paddleboarding for the afternoon, come back in, and then all of a sudden you got a message on your phone. Oh, like one of the restaurants in town needs a keg. It's not a big deal to go burn a keg and drop it off and come back for dinner. Like the whole thing, the balance of it, owning it and wanting to see it progress. It's been amazing. I'm happy with what I did.
I love it. Okay. So this is a useless question. I shouldn't ask it, but I will. What is the vision for Snake Lake? When you look at 5 years down the road, is there an end point in mind, a goal? Like, are you going to someday be like, this is it, this is all we need? Or is growth just a continual goal?
Honestly, since the day we've opened, we've just been running and seeing how things go. Cause we're like, you, as we've talked about, not from this industry.
Yeah.
And to watch it where it's going, we've added tanks when we needed to and just building up to the demand and gotten ripped off for a year on a treadmill there in COVID. So now to see 5 years from now, man, I'm excited to see it. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing.
Totally.
You know, just keep getting those pucks on net and just keeping our sticks on the ice.
Yeah. It is getting worse.
Okay, so my goal with doing the podcast in general is, you know, it's on some levels an extension of the festivals that we do, which is, you know, trying to create that connection between the breweries and the consumers, right? So whether that's an emotional connection, is it like to your point, Adam, when people look at they go into a liquor store and they see 100 different beers on a wall, how are they going to find which one they want, right? And if you have an emotional connection with the brewery, you're more likely to make that purchase, right? So people that listen to this podcast, is there something that I didn't touch on that people need to know about your guys' brewery? And that's an open question.
I think this is awesome. Like anybody who hasn't checked us out or knows about us, definitely go try one of our beers. Come check out the tap room. Drive out here. We have a beautiful tap room. We've got an amazing patio. We've got smoked meat. We've got 12 different beers all the time on tap. We've got craft lemonade. Like we've got so many cool different things. And once live music, like follow us. Anybody who's listening, check us out on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, whatever you want to do. Just see what we're doing. Like learn about it. Like we are very proud of what we built. We've got a great team and we want to share it with you. So like check it out. Take that next step. Like if we're new and haven't heard about us.
So I literally did on just before I left, I was leaving the office. I saw a social media post you guys did. And I said, I'm driving out there right now. It was for like the food that you guys are featuring today. I'm like, and it better be damn good. I'm going to post when I'm done this and I'm going to rate it out of 10. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, the idea that you have, you know, a guy that's passionate about barbecue and you have amazing beer. I mean, it really seems to me like a good destination point. I'm so proud of everything you guys have done. It's been great from an outsider just to kind of get to see you guys continue to grow and just continue to build and be more successful. But more than that, just the idea that you guys are enjoying the process is a huge part of what's fun from an outsider. So congratulations and hopefully everything continues. And now that we're out of the COVID, hopefully you guys have an awesome summer and we'll celebrate at the festivals in October.
Yeah, man.
Looking awesome, forward man. To it.
Okay. Cheers.
Thanks. Cheers. Cheers. Thank you.
We are so excited to have brewed up this mini-series with our friends at Brightside to learn more about some of their Friends with Benefit breweries. Don't forget to download the Brightside app so you can start saving at places like Troubled Monk in Red Deer, Dog Island in Slave Lake, Blind Man in Lacombe, and Snake Lake Brewery in Sylvan with your Brightside spend card. Hey everyone, I just wanted to thank you for listening to the Let's Meet for a Beer podcast. If you enjoy the conversations, please rate us where you download your podcasts and share with your friends. For more information on the projects our team is working on, please visit letsmeetforabeer.com. Be sure to join us next week for a new conversation and have an awesome day.